wrestling fans from Greenville, South Carolina's Memorial Auditorium. Welcome to another action-packed, exciting hour of Smoky Mountain Wrestling. Wrestling the way it used to be and the way you like it. I'm Bob Caudle. This week we're going to be seeing Hollywood Bob Holly, Hustler Rip Rogers. We're going to see much, much more. We're going to be talking with... Hey.
You know, you never get finished. Why don't
Jim
you go ahead and introduce
the Louisville Slugger right here, fans.
I'll tell you what we're going to see today. We're going to see two main events. Dutch Mantell takes on Scott Armstrong and the Fantastics going up against the Call-Offs. I can hardly wait to see Hollywood Bob Holly in action. I've heard so much about him. But Fantastics, I know what they can do. But I tell you this to the Fulton brothers, the Call-Offs are out for blood in today's main event. I think they're going to get some. Bob, take it away.
All right, fans. It's going to be a great hour. You want to stay right here. You don't want to miss a single moment of it. And we're about ready to go. Let's go to the ring now and our opening match.
Welcome back, everyone, to this week's Smoky Mountain Wrestling episode on Booking the Territory Pro Wrestling Podcast. It's Mike Mills, Doc Turner here again. Doc, you know, we've been having a lot of fun on our other show, and Smoky Mountain is the this is the one we look forward to, ain't that right?
Well, I'm a little bit upset before we get started today because, you know, it took all of two episodes for your control freak type A personality to come out and wrestle away the opening of the show for me. But now that people can really see the kind of working conditions that Hardbody Harper and I deal with on a daily and weekly basis. So. Okay. Yeah, I look forward to this, but you going to let me talk? Do I get to say anything? Do I get to add my expertise to this?
You do get to add your expertise, but while we're at it, before you start adding your expertise, I just want to remind everyone, please subscribe to the show, however you get it, on iTunes, Podbean, Stitcher, Podcast Addict, TuneIn Radio. Give us a 5-star review on iTunes as well, and remember, this is just our Smoky Mountain show. When you subscribe, you will get our weekly episodes that we do, where we cover a variety of topics, including Raw, SmackDown, ROH, TNA. We do the top fives that are becoming a very, very popular segment of our show. Sometime we discuss some what-ifs on our show. So, yeah, check it out, man. I think you would enjoy it. If you are a fan of classic wrestling, which you must be if you're listening to the Smoky Mountain Wrestling Review podcast, I would think that you would enjoy some of the top five discussions that we have because that is pretty much all around classic wrestling. I mean, that is not anyone current for the most part, unless we discuss current top five, so, or top fives from the 2000s. But anyway.
So I got a question for you. This is episode 3, and we're going to review the second episode that aired on TV. Our first episode, obviously, as you guys have been listening, was sort of a set the stage. What was Smoky Mountain? What kind of feedback are you getting from the fans on the first couple of episodes?
Well, man, we're getting all kind of feedback, man. People are loving Smoky Mountain Wrestling. I mean, it's amazing how you and I just discovered this, you know, I'll say 6 months ago, maybe. I don't know. Maybe it's longer ago than that. I can't quite recall the exact time frame. But the fans, I am amazed at how many people love Smoky Mountain Wrestling. Let me say that.
It was wrestling's greatest kept secret to me until just a few months ago, and I'd heard of it like we talked about in previous episodes. But I did not understand all of the different wrestlers that were in there, how great it was, and just it was one of those things that slipped through the cracks. So
Well, we didn't have access to it. That was the biggest problem.
Yeah, but I've had the internet for the past 20 years.
Well, no, I mean originally during the 90s when Smoky Mountain hit its stride, we just didn't have access to it at that point.
We ought to start doing this show and keep doing it all the way through and then do like a Memphis and World Class and Mid-South and just turn this into a full-time job.
You know what? If people would like to donate to the show and people would like to check out our T-shirts on Facebook.com/Booking the Territory and clicking that Shop Now button, that could definitely happen. And also using that Amazon link and at MikeMills.Podbean.com. That would very much help us out as far as you know, being able to do this full time for everyone. But you're getting ahead of yourself too. But I mean, you're not getting ahead of yourself is what I should say. I actually had that plan was to maybe go back and do World Class in Mid-South and Memphis. I think that would be a great thing. I think there are listeners out there who would love us to do that as they listen to this classic stuff that we do. So we got a long way to go with Smoky Mountain though, as we get into episode number 2 of the show. So Doc, just quick reminder too, some of the things I've been doing is I've been trying to load the promos that occur on these episodes towards the end of the episode. So after we close shop each episode that we do, you'll hear some of the promos that we discuss for the show at the very end. Well, and it's just a,
let me just tell you this. There's a couple on this program that'll be worth worth putting up, and we'll get to it. And I guess let's go ahead and get to it. What do you say?
I'm with it. So let's kick it off. So episode number 2 of Smoky Mountain Wrestling airs, and we're at the same place. We're still in Greenville, South Carolina. You know, ain't that right, Doc?
Yeah, this is the pilot tapings that occurred late in '91.
All right, so we're only in episode number 2, and it starts off with Jim Cornette announcing 2 main events. So I guess we like to keep track of our Cornette promos. So this is Cornette promo number 1 on the show on this week's show, and the main events are going to be Scott Armstrong and Dutch Mantel, along with the Fantastics, which are really the Fultons, against Ivan and Vladimir Koloff. So those are that's going to be our main events on this week's episode. So. Doc, what did you have to say about as things get kicked off on this week's episode with Cornette?
Well, and this is one of those things where they're still you can tell, and this is where I think you have to be patient as we go through these episodes, and you go, well, you know, you gotta trust Mild Mike and I that the payoff for Smoky Mountain is ahead. These episodes are not bad at all, and they are certainly better than what I'm watching on in the current product in a lot of cases. But they're still figuring stuff out here. And so the first episode had Bob Caudle and Dutch Mantel. This one has Corny on color, probably because Dutch is wrestling, I guess. But that doesn't make – that's probably for continuity's sake, I guess. They're trying to figure things out. But there's one thing that Corny has defaulted to here, and it's the fact that the people are hillbillies.
Okay, you just straight up were like, you should.
Well, that's, I mean.
Okay, they're hillbillies. I wasn't expecting that from you, but that's cool. I ain't mad at you.
But he's laying it up.
Well, let's not be mean. I mean,
no,
there's
these
a lot
are
of
his good. Words. I mean, in just about a.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay, yeah, you're right. Cornette does say that. It's a bunch of hillbillies. We get some good promo in this. So, yeah, I agree
but
with you.
But we go to the ring. For the first
Yeah, let's go. Go ahead.
And we have a recognizable face if you are a WWE fan, and that is Sparky Plug, Bob Holly. In this incarnation, he is Hollywood Bob Holly. Now, I believe Bob Holly is from Alabama or somewhere in the South, so he wears a nice satin jacket to the ring to somehow let us know that he is indeed from Hollywood. I think he'd be, I don't know if they mean California or Florida, on that Hollywood. Holly's wearing pink, and you know, I thought he kind of looked like he was going for a Bret Hart look. Did you pick up on that at all?
It looked like it to me, yeah. Yeah, it did. Because I don't think there was any other guy at that time, any over guy, so to say, that wore pink, though. So, yeah, I would agree.
So Bob is 28 years old here, so he's young, but he's not super young. I mean, he's been in the business for a few years here, and he's facing a guy, Tim Fry. Didn't really have a lot on him. What's great here, and probably something that you want to touch on, is once again we get Ron Wright coming down to the ring in the middle of the match to scout talent to see who he wants to manage. Now, why? Let's remind the fans, why is he looking for guys to manage?
He needs a hip and knee replacement surgery, or one of two, or both, right?
So Ron is in a wheelchair still, and as we've alluded to in previous episodes, he was a massive heel in the '60s and '70s, I believe, in Eastern Tennessee in the Smoky Mountains. So, you know, but not a bad match. Short, 4.5 minutes. What I thought was interesting is that Holly worked snug even back then. Did you agree with that one?
Yeah, I mean, the basic note that I had from this was the, you know, it's just a great Southern wrestling, I mean, 80s wrestling in my eyes, and he wins a quick match, and yeah, I mean, he just, I don't whether you want to call it snug or stiff or whatever you want to call it, he just makes it look believable.
Sure.
I mean, there's no other way to put it. That's the best explanation that I could hit, that I could give, that I've heard many of old timers that I had been around during my days on the indies, they would say, make it look believable. Bob Holly makes it look believable.
Well, he wins.
Go ahead. Yeah, you really think he's about to take somebody's heads off.
Well, and he wins with the knee drop from the top rope.
And that's I would be afraid to take that. Not that I would think that he would kill me on purpose. It's just that's a rough move. But hey, you know, again, he made it believable.
He looked like he laid that one in.
Yeah, it was very believable. So I agree. Bob Holly wins. I had the time on it, 4 minutes and 30 seconds. A good quick match. Start your TV product off good. You're building up to something to come. The music set it off, because I didn't know. You know, I know Smoky Mountain Experience, so I don't know who's about to come out when the music hits. I'm like, what is this shit? And sure enough, it's, you know, Holly with the coming out to that music. I'm like, whoa. So, yeah, man, good match. Good solid match. Good way to kick off the episode.
One thing you got to know, fans, is that apparently Corny wasn't worried about paying copyright issues with the entrance music. So they do use real songs here from real bands and aren't using fabricated songs. So,
which was common, I mean, even on the indies. I mean, my entrance music, you know, I had a couple of two different ones that I would use during my time in the indies. And, yeah, I mean, I used real artists. I didn't, you know, it wasn't some manufactured stuff. Independent organizations don't have the money to go hire, you know, bands to produce their music or music studios. So, yeah, good stuff. You want to move to the next one, or we still
Well, we got – next we have a promo from the Co-Offs. And
this is beautiful, actually.
Go ahead if you think it's – if you like it here, because I am – This is there's a lot of promos on this episode, which is fine. I like to hear people talk.
Right, it's good. But there are a lot of promos on the episode, but it's good stuff.
I don't know that I'd go that far on this one. I think
I thought it was fine. Let me say this. But here was my take. We go to the Co-Offs with Ivan and Vladimir. Vladimir is the funniest looking, supposedly scary Russian ever, and I'm not trying to disrespect this man, because my goal one day is to land Cornette for this show. But I want to ask him about Vladimir. It's one of the questions I have. I think Ivan must have been laughing a little when he said you saw Nikita, but Vladimir is just as intense. I couldn't stop laughing at that. Ivan's promo I thought was good because he was intense. He was trying to make it believable. But looking at Vladimir during this promo, if you're watching him, it is kind of laughable when you're looking at Vladimir. Not Ivan. I thought Ivan was good. But again, he's doing his job. Ivan's trying to put Vladimir over. No one knows who Vladimir is, I would assume, at that point. So, yeah, you know, I thought that part was fine.
My note was Vladimir looks constipated.
He didn't look constipated. He just was making he's making this weird face, and he's just – it's like he was trying too hard to look intense. I don't know how to explain it. For anyone who's listening, watch it and you'll see exactly what we're talking about. Or maybe you've seen it already. So, yeah, I don't know. It was very, 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 very strange. But I thought it was good.
So we shift from that to a promo. And you can tell by the laughter. We got Robert Gibson in a rare moment giving a rare promo. Would you like, as a man who has, you know, traveled down the roads with Robert Gibson, would you like to tell us what happens here?
Well, I've only been on, I was on one in a van with him once on the way to Virginia.
I was trying to make you sound a lot bigger than you really were.
I don't want to make it sound like I've run up and down the roads with Robert Gibson. It was one time. But anyway, he cut a promo about him coming back from knee surgery. It was not his best promo. I don't really have anything bad to say other than that. But I will say I can see, you know, if we compare Ricky Morton to Robert Gibson when it comes to cutting promos, there is an obvious reason why Ricky was the more intense one and the one who did a better job just based on that. What that looked like, that promo, it looked like an example of they were, you know, cutting pilot stuff. And I bet you if you asked Cornette if he went back, if he would include that one, he would just would have kept that off the show. Because it really didn't do anything, and it's not Robert's fault. I mean, again, it's a pilot episode.
It was mercifully short.
It was very short.
Let me. Robert Gibson's best moments are in the ring, not on the mic.
Yeah, Gibson is fantastic in the ring. I mean, he's not a good promo guy, and that's just what it is. So we go from there to Paul Orndorff. This was a 6-minute and 28-second match. Here's my notes, and then feel free to add on to that. I thought it was real solid. This is 1991, and it's airing in 92. To me, Orndorff was still a star back then, and it's amazing when you see him. He's still in great shape, and he's a really great wrestler. I mean, Orndorff is just really good. I thought it was funny because Cornette praises Orndorff, but then buries him and says he doesn't like how Orndorff kisses ass to the hillbillies. Cottle says, oh, come on, Jim, as he seems to say frequently on these episodes when Jim says something out the box. You know, Hustler Rip Rogers in this match, he's a hell of a wrestler. That guy can sell with the best of them. I mean, I compare him to like a Barry Horowitz, who made our top five list a few weeks back on our Book in the Territory weekly show. That guy is just, I mean, he sells his ass off. But here's the thing, Doc. I love how Orndorff used the mic, but there was no fine.
Right. Armstrong came out, Bullet Bob came out in episode one and was going to, you know, lay down the law. So.
But he used the mics, so I guess Bullet Bob.
Well, maybe we'll
one,
get a fine next week.
We'll see.
And you know that, hey. You know that Bullet Bob has said that he's outlawed the pile driver, I believe.
I did see that, and that's Orndorff's finisher.
Right.
Orndorff did not finish him with that move, although he did win the match in 6 minutes and 20 seconds over Rip Rogers.
Well, and here's the interesting thing. That I had is that Corny does point out that Orndorff's not interested in selling dolls and merch.
Right. Which is direct shot at WWE.
Yeah. And this is early 90s. So keep in mind that. The other thing that's important to note here for continuity purposes is that Orndorff is supposed to be a babyface at the beginning with Rip Rogers being the heel. Now, Orndorff's 42 at this point.
He does not look 42.
No, he's in great shape. So he's on he's starting, but I mean, Orndorff goes to WCW after this, I know for a fact. So, I mean, he's still, you know, in great shape, looks good. The thing that I didn't understand is that Orndorff is a good guy. He's the good guy here, but he's doing a bunch of heel stuff. And he's, you know, throwing a bunch of punches. They go outside the ring. It was weird to me because it didn't feel like it was, you know, and I guess some of that is how they decided to position him after the pilot, but I don't know. One thing I noticed is that Orndorff to me threw a great looking working punch.
Yeah, I think that's what it was. It was the pilot, and I know what you mean. It's a little blurred with the lines of him being a heel, but yeah, I was fine with it. You want to go to the next segment?
Yeah, next we get Nitro, formerly Nightmare Danny Davis, and. Again, he's the babyface, and he's got a long history in the territory, and, well, that's about all I had on that one. It was mercifully short as well.
Yeah, he talked for a minute, nothing special, how he's now Nitro Danny Davis and not no longer Nightmare. The thing that I got from that one was after that we have Bullet Bob come out, still no, you know, pocket protector in his starched white short sleeve button-up shirt and a tie. He talks about some of the great wrestlers, they are working on getting to Smoky Mountain. Remember, we're still in the pilot episodes. And he repeats how he's levying fines and no one will break the rules, except he doesn't mention anything about Orndorff, who just nailed Rogers with a microphone in a match just before. But again, that interview was probably cut before Orndorff nailed Rip with the microphone, so because of the pilot episode. So, I don't know. I kind of like every time Bullet Bob comes out, I actually like it. I find it very, very entertaining.
Well, he also promises that Smoky Mountain will deliver good family fun at affordable prices. While I think they're going to stay with the affordable prices most likely throughout the promotion, I think we want to remember the term good family fun when the gangsters come in. In a couple of years, and just some of the angles that get shot. Again, I got no problem with it, but it's just funny that we start out with the idea that we're going to be pure and wholesome and milk and cookies, and let's see if we're still feeling that in a couple of years when we start to really start running the territory, if you will.
As you say, we have a lot more to come about that, but you can't fault Cornette for adapting to what the environment was telling it to adapt to at that point.
Or doing what the money man said he wanted done.
That too. So very, very, very sound point right there. Next, we have a primetime Brian Lee promo. He basically cuts a promo on Dutch Mantel, obviously setting up some type of match for a future episode. I didn't have a lot of notes at that point. Doc, did you have much more?
Man, the thing that I'm really working here with, and it's like, you know, the baby faces in this promotion from – out the gate, and obviously this will change as we as some talent turns over and more people come in, but the baby faces across the, down the line do not cut very effective promos.
Even as you get deeper into it?
No. I think it gets a lot better. I think as the roster evolves and develops. But, I mean, so far in this episode, you've got Robert Gibson, Danny Davis, and Brian Lee.
Again, pilot episodes.
Right.
Excuse me, pilot episodes.
So I didn't have a lot on that. He's going to get into something with Dutch, and we'll see where that goes.
Yep. Then we got Scott Armstrong. This was one of the main events. Scott Armstrong against Dutch Mantell. Against a double main event, excuse me, where it's only 4 minutes and 45 seconds. Dutch comes out to the old Rawhide theme song, which, I got to be honest, that's great in itself. It's fitting, and again, it's so Southern wrestling. Dutch gets DQ'd. He beats Scott with his whip. Brian Lee runs in, and this was what I made note of more than anything here. Dutch grabs the mic and tells Brian Lee he's got a whip, and he's going to beat 75 pounds off Brian Lee. I was just waiting for him to say beat 75 pounds off of Brian Lee's ass. I really, really found this to be entertaining. I can't remember if they said it right here, but Dutch's whip's name is called Shoe Baby. So his gimmick has a name, Shoe Baby, and I don't know. I really enjoyed that. What else do you have about that particular segment and match?
Well, we like to kind of chronicle where people are in their lives here. Dutch is 42. He's a different,
which is amazing because that's basically what you and I are on, where you are, and I'm almost that.
And Dutch looks older to me. He doesn't also look the same as Orndorff's 42. Dutch, for those of you who are unaware, ended up being Zeb Coulter in the WWE, this started out with a fairly interesting gimmick and then devolved into some level of foolishness, which is probably why we're deviating from the current product and doing this show. His opponent, Scott Armstrong, one of the Armstrong kids, one of Bob's kids, he's 32 at the time. He's currently a WWE ref. At the time of this, as we're doing this show. Couple of notes on the guys. Scott Armstrong has a ridiculous mullet. Just, both of them have pretty ridiculous mullets, but Armstrong's is particularly, as what my notes here said, what a devastating mullet. And there's a lot of guys, and he's not alone in Smoky Mountain in 1992 for having a mullet, but some are just more, stand out more than the others. Dutch is a hairy man.
He's very hairy.
He could braid the hair on his back for all you ladies out there. But if you're a lady listening to a Smoky Mountain Wrestling review, you might be able to braid the hair on your back too.
No, that's real classy.
The line for me, and this is one of those things, and I think we'll probably talk about it next time. In more detail, but it's really unfair to Bob Caudill, who we've positioned and agree is a great play-by-play guy for this product, especially at this time of the product. But he's really, really outmatched with Corny on color, because Corny's moving a mile a minute. He's fast. He's you know, quick-witted, and Caudill is kind of struggling to keep up with the one-liners and what's going on. Because it's a different pace, different generation, but Corny had a great line in this match. He said Bob Armstrong used to walk Scott Armstrong to school every day, which came in handy since they were in the same grade.
I saw that. I heard that. Yeah, that was good. Corny always with the one liners is very, very entertaining, as we say. So
Dutch gets, you know, he uses. What's his name? Shoe Baby. And Lee comes in, and now we're going to have Dutch and primetime Brian Lee. So one of our first angles, we're starting to kind of set up some stuff out of the pilots to move ahead. And I think we'll see that the stuff that comes out of these pilots doesn't really stick around for a long time. It kind of changes, which, you know, that's to be expected. They shot these pilots at the end of 91, and these episodes didn't air till 4 or 5 months later. Some guys have moved on. Some guys are have other commitments by then. So that's not
yeah.
That's not
yeah.
That that uh that doesn't bother me too much. After the match, we get Bob Armstrong back out, commissioner, and, well, you were wondering about the fines. Here we go, the long arm of the law. What's our judgment here? What's the fine?
Well, he comes out. I got to point out again, we get another Bullet Bob promo, and he's got another short sleeve shirt on, a plaid pattern with a tie, and still no pocket protector with the pins in it, though. And Bob Cottle says Dutch can bring the whip to the ring because it's part of his outfit and paraphernalia. But if he uses it, Bob Armstrong says Dutch can bring the whip to the ring because it's part of his outfit and paraphernalia. But if he uses it, it's a $500 fine. And to me, that's Southern wrestling at its finest. They announce in the next episode of Smoky Mountain Wrestling, it'll be primetime Brian Lee will face Dirty Dutch Mantel. That's what I had from once Bullet Bob came out.
Yeah, so from there we go to Corny. So this will be promo number two, Andy's on color commentary.
Yeah, we're not done. Cornette comes out, and he wants to chime in. He says he'll pay the fine if he needs to. Then Cornette starts ripping in WWF and WCW again.
Yeah, he's told the story in the past that it was supposed to be the Midnight Express that were going to come in, and Eaton actually – nobody thought that – they thought Jim Herd would let the Midnight Express go, and – they actually ended up re-signing Eaton. And
right.
So then he had to scramble a little bit, and they put together the team that we will reveal. It's a slow burn here, so we won't say it now, although I'm sure most of you already know who it is.
Yeah, I'm sure.
But we'll let it play out and let you watch it and let the slow burn go. He does shoot on the WWF and WCW and about merch. But the line that – I mean, he cuts a pretty good promo here, and he gets going. And the one line that he had in there that I really liked is – the way you become champ is to win a lot of matches. And I was
right.
Like, that was, you know, you beat people up, you win a lot of matches. And really put the emphasis on what they're trying to do in Smoky Mountain, which is return it to the roots. Which, if he thought it was bad in 1992, he should have fast-forwarded up to 2016 and see what state the business is in. If 32-year-old Corny had seen the business in 2016, he would have probably keeled over dead.
No, ain't no probably involved. It would have been a shock to his system. If you listen to Cornette, you know exactly what we're talking about on his podcast. So the next segment, we get a recap of the main event from the previous episode.
Hold on, you skipped something here, buddy.
What'd I skip?
We had a promo with Wally Yamaguchi for Japanese wrestling.
I purposely skipped that.
That was really weird, wasn't it?
It was like somebody turned the microphone on and they did not have a clue what they wanted to say, and they just sat there and just like tried to ad lib it on live TV.
And I've never done a Japanese accent, but it kind of sounded like a guy trying to do a Japanese accent for the first time.
You know what? I didn't take that from it, but now that you say that, I could see exactly what you're talking about.
All right, well, enough of that, because it doesn't really planned anything on down the line.
Right, that's why I skipped it. So the next segment was a recap of the main event from the previous week, where the Koloffs, if you need a reminder, the Koloffs, Ivan and Vladimir, you know, put the boots to Bobby and Jackie Fulton, and we got a recap from the episode where Bullet Bob says he's signing the match with the Koloffs and the Fultons. They then cut to the next interview where we get Ron Wright in his wheelchair about to defend his actions, where he is being accused of handing something to Ivan Koloff, and in his country voice, he says he's in his wheelchair. I'm in my wheelchair, just a poor old crippled man minding my own business. He handed Koloff nothing. I handed Koloff nothing. It's just scouting talent so I can have my hip surgery. It's so hokey, it's great. That was what I got out of that before we go into the match. What did you have?
No, that was it. And Ron Wright, my note was, I bet he was awesome back in the day.
Yes.
I've seen a few things. As I've gotten into Smoky Mountain, I've gone back and looked at a few things, and he was. And he gets himself a wrestler in the next few weeks or so, and it starts to really kind of take off there. So, yeah, that's, again – the thing, if you've not watched this before, you haven't watched it in a long time, and you've been watching the current product, the thing you got to realize is they have an hour a week, and really that boils down to about 45 to 48 minutes. And so things, and this is a return to territory style, things are a slower burn. So it's, and I really appreciate that. So what I'm going to, even though we've seen it, I'm going to try not to spoil as many things, because that's part of the fun is, gee, I wonder, I mean, there, I can't tell you how many times in the course of watching the shows that I'm like, I want to go to bed, and I'm binge watching like on Netflix, because they've set it up and they've teased me, and I want to know who the mystery guy is. So Ron Wright will get his wrestler here in a few weeks, and we'll talk about that when it happens.
Amazing how less is more. They're only giving you an hour a week, and it's on YouTube. Yeah. What'd you say?
Shocking.
Yeah, 1 hour a week, less is more, and you want to come back for more because less is more, that hour a week. So we go into from there.
Our television main event.
Our television main event, the Fantastics, which is really the Fultons, because I look at the Fantastics as Tommy Rogers and Bobby Fulton.
Boy, I think you're right. I think you're right here, because Jackie Fulton, you know, he had a career. He was in Japan quite a bit, but it's clear to me from the jump street that he is not Tommy Rogers.
No. Tommy Rogers was a special guy. As somebody who actually got to wrestle him a few times, I never met Jackie. I just met actually Bobby recently at the NWA Parade of Champions WrestleMania weekend 2016. But Jackie, he's not Tommy Rogers. But, you know, to segue, the Fantastics, they actually beat Ivan and Vladimir when Jackie pinned Ivan. But during the match, the gold here was Caudill tells Cornette that the Koloss better not cheat because Bullet Bob Armstrong will find them. Cornette says, and you still probably believe if you put a tooth under a pillow, the tooth fairy will bring you a $5 bill. Caudill then starts asking, what is exactly 250 kilos in weight? Cornette says, I don't know, but I think it's 15 to 20 years in prison.
Great line.
And Caudill lets out like a chuckle or a laugh. I don't know. It just really reminded me of just what great commentary is when you're not trying to plug 50 million things like they do on Raw and SmackDown these days. And apparently at the end of the match, they went with ECW rules because there was no semblance of legal man, but Jackie Fulton still pins Ivan Koloff. What were your thoughts on everything here, Doc?
Okay, so as a guy who's never taken a flat back bump, but I'll ask you here. To me, Vladimir looked lost a few times. Did I get that wrong?
It's hard to tell. I don't know who this guy is, so I don't want to insult him. But I don't know if he kind of may have looked lost.
He's the rookie here. Obviously,
yeah, I don't know how young he was or how many years he had at that point. And then here's the other thing to remember, too. Even if he's a seasoned veteran, because I've seen this happen, even if he's the seasoned veteran, and I'm sorry, a seasoned veteran, not the, let's say he had 8 or 9 years, and which is a decent amount of time in the wrestling business, especially back then when you could still work almost, you know, six days a week, even though the territories were dying. He's in there with, you know, Bobby Fulton, who's been on national TV. He's in there with Ivan. So what happens is, even if you're seasoned, you still have to let the veteran control things, because that's just how it works in the business, because they've got more years. They're the senior people. You let them do their thing. So you can kind of get caught in a thing where you know what you want to do, but you're also like, okay, this guy is a well-respected national star. I need to follow his lead. So you may stay in your lane, I guess is the term. That was probably what you saw from him. Again, I don't know how many years he had at that point, though, as I say that.
But, you know, this is kind of an awkward position, because they're shooting a pilot and they're trying to have some heat, because this is a Southern promotion, and what do Southern promotions do but heat? And so they're trying to jumpstart a feud. They're trying to, you know, speed it up so that, you know, we can kick it off on television and get to going. So that's also kind of a difficult spot, because as much as we said earlier, they like to let it go and let things marinate. If you want heat, you got to get it going. So kind of a tough spot there. I thought it was we had a small kid in the audience that brought an American flag. This is the funny part, and I think we talk about this in the next episode. This is 1991. You know, the Cold War is supposed to be over. But maybe the word didn't trickle into Eastern Tennessee and South Carolina at this point.
I'm going to say in some of the Appalachian Mountains areas that they may not have realized the Cold War was quite over yet.
Do they know yet today?
I'm sure they do at this point. Right,
well,
all these
so
years
we've had the television main event, but we do not go off the air. We have a series of promos to finish out this episode. We go to Corny for his third promo, and you know, I'm not complaining at all. You got any notes on this one?
I just thought it was a quick promo, and how he's getting all up in arms about how he needs to have a word with Armstrong because he doesn't want to go to all these hillbilly towns that they're starting to promote that they're going to go to.
Yeah.
Corny working heel. I'm not going to deal with these hillbilly towns.
He compared going to these towns to an albatross he's dealing with. So, I ain't going, I think he says at some point.
I ain't going, yeah.
If it were me, if I was the guy that was going to be cutting and slicing and dicing the tape to put a promo at the end, this next promo may be the one that I would put at the end of the episode, but maybe not because it's a good one.
Are you going with the Tim Horner one
We're going to go to Terry Gordy with a promo. He gets Bob Caudle calls him in. My notes to start were, what a mess. And I'm a huge, huge Freebirds fan. In our top fives on the BTT show, you know, I've put Gordy in top fives. Really, really awesome brawler, big man, agile, just a fantastic talent. What were your thoughts here?
Well, I went from Freebird Mountain to Smoky Mountain. Here's the thing.
He starts to talk about all the places he's been from Freebird Mountain, which I didn't know was a thing. I'd never heard that term before. All around the world. So all around the world means many places. And then he says, from Freebird Mountain to Tokyo, Japan, which is true. And then he goes, I've been from Freebird Mountain to – and then he got lost.
I really think that was like – you know how the Ultimate Warrior used to cut these promos where he was saying nothing? Like, that's what I gathered from that. Like, he went into that, and that was the whole point of that promo.
He said
he was Terry Gordy.
Bombs are starting to fall, and he lays down on the ground.
Yeah, and Bob Caudle. Well, the best part of it is if you look at Bob Caudle, he's like, what in the holy fuck is going on here?
So, yeah, and there's questions about Gordy's extracurricular activities that eventually led to a stroke and his capabilities and how it really put an end not only to his – very promising career, but ultimately his life. So, I mean, I want to tread lightly here, but taken for what it is, if I'm watching this show and I'm not smart to things, I'm thinking, what in the hell is this?
Exactly. The note that I took here more than anything was, we got another pair of stonewashed jeans on Gordy.
Well, yeah.
Because it seems like stonewashed jeans were...
Zubaz hadn't made it out to the Eastern Tennessee yet.
No, Zubaz was, I guess, still in the works. But I got to go to the next one, and then we'll get your thoughts. Because White Lightning, Tim Horner promo. People, please listen to this at the very end of this episode. I should have it uploaded. You may choke from laughter. I need to repeat. I always say this. Tim Horner, if you ever happen to listen to this. Jim Cornette, if you ever happen to listen to this. I mean, no disrespect when I say this. I listened to this and I just like, what is he doing?
Look, I'll say it. And if I have to go toe to toe, I'm not tough, but if I have to verbally defend myself against Tim Horner or God forbid, even Jim Cornette one day, the kind of to go out there and cut a promo this bad on TV tells me one of two things. Tim Horner's a part owner of the promotion, or his dad is the booker. That's the only two explanations for what may be the worst promo I have ever heard. He stumbled over words. He was monotone. It was like he'd been drugged. Just my first notes were capital Z's across the page. So if you put this at the end, put it at the very end, because we don't want our listeners to fall asleep before they hear all the good stuff.
The best part about the promo is he's trying to communicate that, you know, in Smoky Mountain, you're judging like your wrestling ability. And then he's like, he's trying to communicate to Bob Caudle, you know, body. He's trying to say bodybuilders. And he's like, body guys, you know, like, you don't have to be a body guy. And he's trying his hardest to basically say, unlike in the WWE where you have to be a bodybuilder with a great body to be a great wrestler.
He should have just come out and said, you don't have to look like Lex Luger to be a man in Smoky Mountain.
Well, he couldn't get out bodybuilder. He could not get out the term bodybuilder, and Cottle had to help him out. And, yeah. That was my last note from this week's episode of Smoky Mountain Wrestling Review.
So maybe it might be unfair earlier to say that the baby faces aren't good talkers, because really the other guy that they're up against on the heel side is three Jim Cornette promos, so they're going to lose that battle. But Gibson Davis and Danny Davis and Primetime Brian Lee weren't great. This was another level of really bad.
Oh, you can't compare them. There's no comparison. There's no comparison. That should not have been on TV. And I'm pretty sure Jim Cornette would agree. If he would ever be on the show, he would say, yeah, we should have left that one off.
So that wraps up our episode 2 of Smoky Mountain. We need to dole out some electric scooters or no disability checks. That's what it is.
How many disability checks out of 10 do you give this?
Well, here's the thing. I thought the wrestling on this one was better than the talking. Even though Corny had some good promos, I give this another. I think I gave the first episode a 5. I'm gonna stay with the 5 here. The numbers will go up as the angles start to develop. So I'm going to give it 5 disability checks out of 10. So don't spend those all down at the liquor store or the casino. That's only 5 disability checks, not the full 10.
Yeah, I got to agree. I probably would go with 5. It just, these are pilot episodes, and they're not going to be, you know, the greatest thing since sliced bread. And the other thing,
and this is really, really difficult for me, is as I've gone through and watched all of the Smoky Mountain, is to go back and judge these first episodes on what they are versus what they become. And that's been really difficult for me, because the territory really does, in my opinion, become one of the best territories, if not the best, I've ever seen for about a year stretch. And you go, why don't you just go to that part? Because it's a journey. That's why. Hold your horses. We'll get there.
Well, no, I think people who listen to this do understand.
That's right.
I don't think that they're in disagreement.
These fans that listen to this are a lot smarter than the fans that listen to our other show.
I don't want to say all that.
Well, we better get out of here before I get in trouble. Do you want to? You got anything you need to pimp?
Oh, yeah. You know, follow us on Twitter at @BTT_podcast. I am on Twitter at Mike504Saints. Forgot his Twitter password, so he can't get into his account. Subscribe to the show. So not only, you know, when you subscribe to this one, you'll get the our staple show, our main show, the headline show, BTT podcast. You'll get that each and every week. Right now they're dropping every Thursday, and we talk Raw, we talk ROH, we talk a little TNA, but mainly we've been doing a lot of top fives recently about the top five wrestlers in different categories, whether it's top five promo guys, top five worst gimmicks. Go back and listen to some of those. There's some really, really entertaining things there. We got our Amazon. If you want to help support the show, you can check us out. Our Amazon link, I posted in all of the show notes. Click that Amazon link. It does not cost you another dollar more. We could use it. When you do use the Amazon link, we get a very small kickback. There's also our PayPal. If you want to donate to the show, we definitely appreciate it. Also, subscribe to our YouTube channel. Just search Booking the Territory. And then remember, 5-star reviews on iTunes would be splendid. And then the last thing, get your very own Booking the Territory podcast t-shirt on Pro Wrestling Tees. Either go to Pro Wrestling Tees and you can find our store there, or like us on Facebook, facebook.com/bookingtheterritory. And if you click the shop now button, the Pro Wrestling Tees store is there. And I think that's all I have, man. I really enjoyed, again, another exciting episode of Smoky Mountain Wrestling Review. That was episode 2 of Smoky Mountain Wrestling. Remember, hang tight once I close the show out, because I will upload as many of the promos from this particular week on the show, which is probably going to be, you know, a good probably maybe 10 minutes or so of promos. I'll upload the promos of this week's show in just a second. So, Doc, man, you know what we always say, excuse me, when we get out of here. So go ahead and hit it, since Harper's not here for these episodes.
Book it, bitch. We'll be right back.
wrestling fans from Greenville, South Carolina's Memorial Auditorium. Welcome to another action-packed, exciting hour of Smoky Mountain Wrestling. Wrestling the way it used to be and the way you like it. I'm Bob Caudle. This week we're going to be seeing Hollywood Bob Holly, Hustler Rip Rogers. We're going to see much, much more. We're going to be talking with... Hey,
you know, you never get finished. Why don't
Jim
you go ahead and introduce
the Louisville Slugger right here, fans.
I'll tell you what we're going to see today. We're going to see two main events. Dutch Mantell takes on Scott Armstrong and the Fantastics going up against the Koloffs. I can hardly wait to see Hollywood Bob Holly in action. I've heard so much about him. But Fantastics, I know what they can do. But I tell you this to the Fulton brothers, the Koloffs are out for blood in today's main event. I think they're going to get some. Bob, take it away.
All right, fans, it's going to be a great hour. You want to stay right here. You don't want to miss a single moment of it. And we're about ready to go. Let's go to the ring now and our opening match. Bob Holly, Hollywood Bob Holly, and we'll be back in just a moment. We're going to be talking to the Koloffs and about their big main event match coming up.
Bobby Fulton, last week, yes, it was the end for your career, but your stupid brother had to come and stick his nose in the match. But you see, this week, we are going to finish it with my nephew, Vladimir. As you see, you think all you people out there that Nikita was awesome. Well, you take a look at Vladimir. He's got the same intent in his heart. We're going to rip you apart, Fantastic. Today will be the end of your career, Fantastic.
We had an opportunity to tape some comments from rock and roll Robert Gibson. Right now, let's hear what Robert had to say about Smoky Mountain Wrestling.
You know, it's a pleasure to be out here now with Smoky Mountain Wrestling. You know, they gave me the opportunity to come out here and say hello to all the nice fans around the country. Let me say one thing. You know, I've been out for a while. I had a serious knee surgery. I've been out for like 9 months. Now I'm back. I'm ready to prove the world. I'm back here ready to come back to wrestle. I'd like to say one thing. If all the fans out there can stick behind the rock and roll will never die. See ya.
One of the many stars of Smoky Mountain Wrestling fans, Nitro Danny Davis. Now let's talk with the commissioner of Smoky Mountain Wrestling, Mr. Bob Armstrong. Bob?
Bob, it's good to be with you. I've got a list right here of some of the top wrestlers in the country, yes, and another list back here of some that negotiations are going on with as we speak. What Smoky Mountain is trying to do is bring the sport of wrestling back as a family feature, something you can bring your children out to enjoy and not be ashamed of at affordable prices. Some things have gotten out of context. I'm not going to allow any breakage of the rules, no pile drivers over the top ropes. You know all the things we've gone over. I've gone over it with the wrestlers, and fines are going to be handed out. Fines are going to be levied on anybody that breaks the rules. So we will try to make it a family affair, like I say, and like you've been talking about, it's much more fun to watch professional wrestling in person. TV matches are great, and we've had some great TV matches, good tournaments to come, but if you take my word for it, Smoky Mountain Wrestling is a place to be. Come out and see us when we come to your town, and come see us in person.
Fans, here's a young man that's bringing a lot of excitement to Smoky Mountain Wrestling. We're delighted to have him, prime time, Brian Lee. Brian?
You know, Bob, Dutch Mantell come up here and run his mouth. You know, it's easy to sit behind the desk and criticize somebody. Dutch, I'm 6'5", 285 pounds, and not hard to find, and can't hide behind much. So if you got a problem with me, I can settle anytime, anywhere.
All right, and that's the message, fans. It looks like you're sending that right to Dutch Mantell, Brian.
You're exactly right. Dutch Mantell and any other takers.
All right, fans, we say this young man has wrestled, well, he's wrestled in Puerto Rico, he's wrestled in Japan, he's wrestled all around the world, and he's going to have a big impact on Smoky Mountain Wrestling. Prime time, Brian Lee, don't forget that name. Rights and lefts, and he drives Mantell into the, watch out, he's got that bull whip, a shoe baby right in the hand.
He caught him in the throat. I told you, Dutch Mantell's not going to stand for this.
Well, and the referee's going, he's going to ring the bell. That's Mantell, he's going to that bull whip. Brian charging into the ring.
Hey, what in the world is Brian Lee? What kind of business has he got getting in this ring?
It's Scott Armstrong.
Oh, come on in.
Scott Armstrong is your winner. On a disqualification. Wait a minute, Dutch has got...
Hey, Brian Lee, let me tell you one thing. You stick your nose where it don't belong. This whip, I stop a 2,000-pound bull, and you keep messing with me, I'll whoop 75 pounds right off you, brother.
Oh, there you have it, Bob. He's not going to take this abuse.
That's what the Dutchman, and Dutch Mantell says, and fans, we'll be back right now. Let's take time out for this. Fans, with me right now, Smoky Mountain Commissioner Bob Armstrong. Bob, again, it appeared to me, and I think all of the fans, we call it Dutch Mantell, he used a foreign object in the ring.
Well, he's used his whip, and yep, we'll say he tried to get around the foreign object clause. But he can bring that whip to the ring if he wants to, if that's part of his paraphernalia. But if he uses that whip, it's going to cost him $500 the first time, and we'll see what happens after that. Now, still wow. talking, as long as we're on the subject of Dutch Mantell, he seems to have a problem with Brian Lee. So we here at Smoky Mountain can settle that problem. Next week, right here on TV, we'll put Dutch Mantell against primetime Brian Lee next week.
Fans, that should solve that problem. Wait a minute. Don't approve of that?
What, Commissioner Gordon over here got to stick his nose in everybody's business? I would pay that fine just for the privilege of seeing Scott Armstrong get bullwhipped. Now, I'll tell you something else while we're on the subject. People want to know other people's business. Everybody's been asking me, Jim Cornette, who's this tag team you're bringing?
Yeah.
Who's coming to Smoky Mountain Wrestling? Who's this dynamic new team? Well, nobody's going to know until I'm ready. And when I'm ready is going to be when they decide champions around here, because that's exactly what these two guys are going to be. You see, I've been in some of these other organizations. I know how it works. You want to get a wrestling match maybe up a little higher on the card? No way. You go in there and say, I want to be in a main event. They say, no. You're not selling enough bubble gum cards. You go in there and say, I want a little more money. We can't pay you no more money. This guy's got a contract selling tennis shoes. We got to pay him. You want a title shot, worst of all, they say, uh-uh. We ain't going to give you no title shot because you might beat that guy and take his title, and he just signed a contract to be on an episode of a situation comedy. So you see the problem in other wrestling organizations. Around here, brother, the way that you become a champion is by winning a lot of matches. The way you win a lot of matches is by having more guts in your belly than the guy you're standing across from. And when you get that title match, the only thing between you and that belt is whether you're bigger and better and tougher than the guy that wears the gold. My men are going straight to the top, and ain't nobody going to stand in our way. And if these rednecks like it, that's fine with me. If they don't, I could care less.
Something we're going to look forward to in the near future. Who is that team? And we'll be back right after this.
That is the greatest thing that I've ever seen in my life. Those Fantastics finally got what was coming to them. I hate a couple of bleach blonde stinking punks like the Fantastics.
Jim, they tried to hang Jackie right there, and I think he would have still been hanging there.
Should be
if
hung.
Somebody hadn't come to the rescue. It ended it out about that. Well, shortly after that, at the end of the program, Commissioner Bob Armstrong, he came
stuck
over,
his nose in.
He joined the Fantastics, and they had a discussion about this. Now, let's hear what they had to say about what happened.
Fans, what a wild, chaotic finish to that match. Here, the Fantastics and Commissioner right here, Bob Armstrong.
Let me interrupt right here. You know, I told you that a foreign object will not be tolerated. Right here it is, right here on this paper. That's a rule.
Yeah.
Ivan Koloff, you're going to be fined $500.
Wow.
And as a matter of fact, while we're talking about Koloff, if they want to fight each other's battles, we can settle that. I tell you what, I'll sign a match next week right here on TV, and we'll put both the Koloffs against the Fantastics. How about that?
All right, what about that, Bob? What about that?
Hey, yeah, I'm going to go sign it right now, boy.
Thank you, Bob. Hey, listen, let me tell you, a lot of things are happening around here. I couldn't agree with Jim Cornette more. They're bringing it back to wrestling what it's about, the way the fans like it. Now, Koloff, I've been hit with fists before in the past and by yours. And I don't know who that goof was in the wheelchair, Bob.
You're right.
But he handed something to Ivan Koloff. My brother seen it. Hey, we just want law and order. Like Bob, the commissioner, said, Armstrong, right? He's going to sign this match next week as a main event. Well, let me tell you, bald-headed commie geek, something right now. This is Smoky Mountain Wrestling. Things like that aren't going to happen. We're going to fight fire with fire. Hey, Bob, they jacked my jaw, and I'll tell you, they tried to publicly hang my brother right on TV. We thought about a fresh wrestling start. Well, we see that when the Koloffs are around, things are going to start a little different, and it's their way. Hey, like I said, we're ready to fight fire with fire, and as long as those great people of the United States get behind us, we know that we're going to do one thing. That's kick tail, just like we did overseas against Saddam Hussein and those characters. We're going to do it with Ivan Koloff and that no good other nasty bow-headed Koloff. And let me tell you something, Ron Wright. That's his name, right? The guy in the wheelchair.
Right. That's right.
You may be crippled and you may be an old man, but brother, next time you interfere in my match, I'm going to pick you up out of that wheelchair myself, and I'm going to kick you straight in the booty, because regardless, you shouldn't have got in the ring. You shouldn't even been ringside. And hey, Bob.
Ron Wright maintains his innocence. Ron Wright maintained his innocence through all of this. So before we went on the air today, he had these comments. Let's hear them.
Let me tell you something, Fantastics. I don't know what you're all upset over accusing Ron Wright of getting down there and trying to give that man something. Ron Wright is a crippled man. I'm in a wheelchair. All I'm doing is coming around here looking at the talent that Smoky Mountain has, and believe me, brother, they have plenty of it. And you know Ron Wright has never harmed a hair on any man in my opponents in my life. Just poor old crippled man sitting here trying to mind my own business, looking at what's going on here in this Smoky Mountain Wrestling Empire, and I may get me a team or a man that I may sign up under a contract to manage that can make me a lot of money to have my hip surgery.
The Fantastics over the Koloffs, fan. We'll be talking with White Lightning, Tim Horner, right after this. Wrestling fans, remember, for the best in action and excitement, be sure you watch each week right here on this station for Smoky Mountain Wrestling. Wrestling the way it used to be. Wrestling the way you like it. A number of outstanding stars, and we'll be letting you meet one of them in just a moment. In addition, we've also have tremendous and great managers. One of them right here, Jim Cornette.
Are you trying to insinuate I'm not a tremendous and great star? We'll meet one of them in a minute, but first, here's Jim Cornette. Let me tell you something. You know we're coming back with live professional wrestling in all the towns in the Smoky Mountain Wrestling area. You know what that's like? An albatross. That's a big, ugly bird that hangs around your neck, bringing doom and destruction everywhere it goes. That's what going to these redneck hillbilly towns is to me, an albatross. I'm calling Bob Armstrong. I ain't going to these stinking towns.
Speaking of stars, fans, one of the greatest ever in professional wrestling right here, and here he is. All the wrestling fans around the country know this man, Terry Bam Bam Gordy.
Well,
Terry,
that's right. You know, it's like this. I've been from Freebird Mountain all around the world. I've been from Freebird Mountain to Tokyo, Japan. I've been from Freebird Mountain, like I said, all around the world. But this is the first time I ever came from Freebird Mountain to the Smoky Mountains. Right here I am. I'm ready to take. The bombs are starting to fall. Can you hear? Get out! Get out! Get out! Get out! The bombs are starting to fall. And I'm going to be the one that drops the biggest bomb of all right there in your town, wherever the Smoky Mountain Wrestling goes. And I'll guarantee you this, the skies over your town is going to be illuminated.
Fans, right now we're talking to Morristown, Tennessee's own White Lightning, Tim Horner. Tim, I know you had a very successful tour in Japan, but I also know that you're glad to be back here on Smoky Mountain Wrestling, back before the home folks and in your own area and territory.
That's right. You know, when I come home, you know, I think of mountains because there's mountains all around us. And when I think of mountains, I think of Smoky Mountains. And now every time I hear Smoky Mountains, it's Smoky Mountain Wrestling. You know, and I really get excited about that because finally there's an organization who is going to allow the wrestlers to compete at a level that they're capable of competing in. You know, some of these other organizations, you know, and I talked to the commissioner earlier today, Bob Armstrong.
Right.
He assured me that Smoky Mountain Wrestling is not a body competition. It's not body
building.
Body
yeah,
building.
Muscles,
there
right.
You go. And it's certainly not a rock show. You know, some
right.
of these other organizations, you know, they want to hammer something into the people's head, if you get my drift. But, you know, I'm happy to be here, you know, and like you said, I just come off a tour of Japan, and I'm really happy to be here.
Fans, that's it from White Lightning Tim Horner. Next week, Dutch Mantell, Brian Lee, that's our main event. We'll see you then, and until then, so long for now.